very kind, and started saying that anyone who has a bundle has the slightest desire to serve the Lotus Feet of Radharani. Orishasati is very happy, and immediately she feels that desire and takes that blessed soul directly under her protection, giving them her full shelter. So I offer my respectful obeisances to Orisha Devi, whose beautiful face puts to shame the brilliance of the full moon, and whose doe-like eyes are ever restless, and who has acquired the rare distinction of being an expert in dressing Radha. If any of you are concerned, you have to be about a Krishna. Now you're in the place of Orisha Devi. You say to her that she will bless you. Become empowered to touch the Srimad Radharani in a very wonderful and attractive way, to attract all the devotees, and moreover to attract the all the earth. Orisha Shakti is always continuing to serve the divine couple, Radha Mukunda. Sometimes Orisha dries the perspiration and dampens their lotus feet. That's it, when you're dancing in Radha's performance, you know when you're dancing, your body is perspiring. All over the hands, inside your hands become moist, your feet become moist. Sometimes we just have to see baskets, Radharani and Krishna from dancing. And she takes the edge of her sari or edge of her sari and she wipes her lotus feet with some damp water from the Yamuna. We just intoxicated with the highest she can know of, and she is the intense repository of qualities like exquisite grace, silence, gravity, and simple directness of speech. Rupa Goswami says in Srila Rita Devi is the preceptor or guru for all the girlfriends of Radharani, teaching them all about sisterly affection. Her life and soul is Krishna, the younger brother of Balaram, and Orisha Shakti is also very dear to Radhika. May Orisha Devi give me the opportunity to worship her. These palaces were built by the queen. What we're seeing, whoever built it, it wasn't built. Now these are all just temporary things we've seen. In order to actually see the Holy Dham, as we mentioned the TV Kupa, we have to have prema and initiation about the Lord. Those acharyas that have prema, like Baladeva Vijayabhushan, he wrote Aishwarya Sadamdini. Baladeva Vijayabhushan wrote one book, Aishwarya Sadamdini. And Ishmael Chakravarti wrote Bhagavad Gita Chintamani and the Bhagavad Gita Sava. Another book by this, by our Goswami, we follow. We worship the Goswami, we love the Bhagavad Gita, we have to see. We worship them, we study their books, we learn from them and from Prabhupada and the Saraswati what the actual Holy Dham looks like. And they describe how it's a Nandadham. In Nandadham, in Nandamata's palace, the bolts of his doors were made of coral. Coral, that's coral. And of course, Pogo Ashram is some steel or some kind of iron bolt. The same kind of doors, none of them, right? But his doors were made of solid gold. And the bolts of those doors are made of coral. And the ceiling of the top is made of lapis lazuli. Some kind of very exotic blue stone, isn't it? Lapis is some kind of blue stone. It's very rare. So you get some description. So those persons who are the same ones in the church that they can actually see, they often want some beautiful palaces that Radha and Krishna live in, on the Dhamma Bhartham. Any other thing?
Temple, and we're able to see that wonderful festival. It's called Nishamahotsav.
Nature or Mahatma? Nature means I. And Mahatma means six principles. To take celebration of the heart and take pleasure to the senses and mind of the spiritual. The devotee, when he stands and gaze upon the beautiful lotus state, Lord. So Srimati Radharani, she wants to enjoy that festival every moment. When she was born, her eyes were closed. And then Krishna went there with his mother, Yashoda. And she was about a year older. She is about a year older than Srimati Radharani. So my mother, Yashoda, is busy taking care of him and talking with the Shivanas and Jitagam. Then Krishna called into the water into Radharani's room.
Yeah.
And he looked over her bed, the end of her bed. And you know, we can see, we can actually have perception through our different senses. So we can see through our ears, through our eyes, and we can see through our nose, or perception. So she must be Radharani. She first smelled the wonderful fragrance of Krishna's body, which is a combination of mud and camphor and aguru and sandalwood, all beautiful, wonderful fragrances combined together. Or if she was lying there, she smelled this wonderful transcendental form of Shyam Sundar. And then she could understand, now is the time to open my eyes. Because no one has such a wonderful fragrance of mind except the personality of God and Lord Krishna. So Krishna was holding his hands on the edge of the bed, looking over, and Srimati Radharani opened her eyes. And the first person, and the only person she ever saw from that time on, Shyam Sundar. That's why Radharani's eyes are blue. Sometimes when babies are born, their eyes are blue. A lot of babies, then they later become brown or green or whatever. Something blue is there, and Indians have brown eyes. So Radharani's eyes are blue because she's always seeing Krishna. In her eyes, in her heart, in her mind, everywhere. So of course she wants to maintain that vision, that vivid vision, that sound vision. She wants to see sound everywhere. She wants to see Krishna everywhere. Come to love Krishna in Arjuna, vivid vision on the battlefield of first chapter. So we don't want vivid vision, we want sound vision. Or rather, we want to see the lotus face and form of Srimati Radharani within the day, wherever we look. So then, later, of course, she moved to Rao, and Krishna moved to Kachikar, and then Krishna moved to Nandagaon, and then Krishna Bhadavaras moved here. Now, it's very interesting. This is called the palace of King Vrishamanu. Manu, the word Manu means light. Sunlight. Because Krishna Manu, he had one child, Sita. Then he wants another child, but he couldn't get a child. So the sages, priests, they advised Krishna Manu, he should worship the sun god. So he worship the sun god. First he went to Kameshwar, then the blessings of Kameshwar Mahadevi. Then he worshiped the sun god, and he got this beautiful daughter, Srimati Radharani. And that's why every day Radharani goes to worship the sun god, because is very much indebted and grateful to Suryadeva for getting such a wonderful daughter. So that's where Manu means light. And we chant the Gayatri Mantra every day. The Brahma Gayatri, Om Bhurbhuvasva Tatsvi Purvanta. Bhargava Vivasva. So this Bhargava means light. Bhargava means light, effulgence. And actually, this Bhargava is the same as Manu. Another name for Srimati Radharani is Vishwabhanu Nandini. Vishwabhanu Nandini. So she is a beautiful daughter, a very beautiful daughter of Vishwabhanu. So it's very interesting that this Gayatri we're chanting, even though Swami explains to the Sikha, to the Rama Gayatri, that this Bhargava refers to Bhanu. Bhargava means light, Bhanu means light. So this Bhargava means Bhanu, original light is Vishwabhanu Nandini. So actually, even the Brahma Gayatri is actually a meditation on the effulgence coming from the throne of Srimati Radharani. You may not have that exact meditation. But nevertheless, Jiva Goswami is explaining that this is the aspect. And Guru Bhavaswa, of course, represents the body, the mind, the intelligence, the very clean and material condition. One has to cross over to enter into the divine realm of spiritual world. So this palace is built on one of the four faces of Brahma. Lord Brahma once rendered some humble service in Krishna's pastimes when he came to this world, which is just very nice. Your four faces can become four mountains, and Radharani will build your palace there and have wonderful pastimes. So there are four mountains surrounding heaven in one. The heaven is the Dantar, Mantar, and Divantar. This whole area is actually saturated with a type of prema. There are seven different types of prema. Different intensities vary on the theme of Lord, love, and God. So one is called Man. So Mandar is in the backside here, the beautiful temple up there. Now, this pastime of Man is actually difficult to understand for us. But anyway, we hear about it. The idea is that Srimati Radharani, he sometimes becomes upset with Krishna because he has many gopi friends, as you know, 10,000 gopi, so many, 10,000 gopi, many gopi friends. And he's an autocrat, so he's always running here and there, drawing pastimes to everyone, and participating with their love, and the elderly gopis, and the younger gopis, and the power boys, and mother and father, and grandfather, and everyone. He's the lover of Vrindavan. He's always spreading and giving his love to everyone in Vrindavan. So, this, sometimes Krishna's love is rather unique. He promises the universe a certain place at a certain time. From the year of lifetime. He doesn't come and becomes very upset. So there's one pastime, we'll just tell this one pastime, that Krishna was supposed to meet Radharani here in Vartan, in Devavan. The backside by Man is here, that area is called Radharvan or Devavan. Radhar means cave. Cave. It's a very, most favorite playground of Srimati Radharani. Because Vartan is a playground, but Devavan is very favorite. So one day Krishna promised to come to meet Srimati Radharani in one punch here, in Devavan. And the Lakshya Sakhi and all the other Sakhis, they spent a lot of time and a lot of care to decorate the Kunj, kind of a confidential meeting place in the middle of the forest, surrounded by trees, some beautiful vines around the trees, some lattice work from different vines and bamboo poles. And it's a very beautiful place. And inside they decorated the beautiful flower bed there and all kinds of refreshments. It's a very wonderful place for others to meet and have some pastime. Very, very hard. And Krishna said, yes, I will meet you there in Devavan. And then he waited and waited and waited, and he waited and he waited. And he would hear some leaves rustling and some trees, some wind blowing through the trees. Radharani in her conscious of love, her intense taste to see Krishna. She was thinking, oh, the trees rustling, there must be the anchor bells of Krishna. He must be here. Some wind blowing through the trees and thinking with the sound of Krishna's flute. She was coming delirious with anticipation to meet Srimati Radharani. So much fancy. But then Krishna didn't come for a long, long time. Because what happened was he was away somewhere else, another part of Vrindavan. He had been kidnapped by Chandramari or her party, Shaija, Padma. And when he finally came, came to the question, well, here I am. So Krishna went away. Of course, he became very, very sad. He wasn't able to meet with Srimati Radharani. And he didn't know what to do because the Lisa Sakhi was creating impenetrable forces, impossibilities for him to get to meet Radharani was not possible. So then, he went towards Nandagram, Sankate area, and just went to some bushes there. He fell down on the ground of Vrindavan, sobbing and crying. Why can't I meet Radharani? Why can't I meet Radharani? Krishna, the Supreme Personality of God, he's crying, and the tears are flowing from his eyes, he's soaking the ground. And to see that, all the animals, all the parrots, the cuckoos, and all the deer, they became very upset and unhappy, and all standing around in a circle around Krishna, and empathizing in his position, and in the extreme lamentation of feeling and separation from Radharani. So in this condition, he was wondering, how can I meet Radharani? How can I again get her favor? So what happened was, he was exhibiting the quality of mind. This type of transcendental jealousy or pouting or selfiness, any kind of self, love self, where you tend to be contrary or didn't want to say, didn't want to talk to Krishna or see him. But internally, you want nothing more than to please the Lord. This type of tranquil is actually provides Krishna and you're going to have it. So then you're wondering what to do. So then Gaurdamasi was seeing a very difficult decision he was enduring. But then she called Vrindavan. She said, look, Vrindavan, we have to make an arrangement for Krishna to again get the favor of Srimati Radharani. So then she called a plan for Vrindavan. Then Vrindavan came up and she arranged with so many wonderful pastimes for Radharani to meet each other. So Vrindavan came up and she met Krishna a few years ago. And she said, Krishna, I can help you meet again with Srimati Radharani. And then Krishna said, yes, yes, anything. But please tell me how can I be Radharani? I'm tired of separation. Please, I can't live another moment. Keep my prana, keep my life, not everything. And then the Vrindavan said, all right. But you have to agree to do whatever I say. You do whatever I say, then I promise you that I'll make arrangements so you'll meet with Srimati Radharani again. And again, enjoy the happiness of your pastime together. She promised him that he surrendered fully and utterly. The lotus feet of Trinidad. So Trinidad said, all right, first of all, you have to completely give up your vase, your golden dhoti. You have to get rid of that. You have to change your vase. And you have to take your peacock feather. You have to take off your peacock feather and throw it on the ground. Just give it up. You have to take your flute and give up your flute. And you have to change your body. And not only that, you have to start standing in that peaceful form. Sri Mangala, like you say, Monkey Vihari. Sri Mangala, we come here, Tapakasham. This is standing in a threefold bending form. He bended his elbow, bended his hip, and his knee. So he's very crooked. He's standing like that. So he said, you have to give up your threefold bending form. And lastly, all that beautiful black hair you have, all that beautiful black hair hanging over your shoulders, which drives all those great smiles, all the beings of Vrindavan, all the chasing after the wonderful lotus, big blue lotus flowers. You have to shave your head. Dry, oh! So, Vrindavan called Krishna, you have to give up your yellow face, you have to wear saffron. He says, Krishna, and you have to become a sannyasi. So, Krishna said, all right, so Krishna shaved his head. Threw down his peacock feathers, threw down his flute, threw down his yellow dhoti, took up red cloth, gave up that walking with the standing with that three-fold bending form. And then in the process of doing this, he turned completely golden. His body turned completely golden in color. And then Vrindavan taught him a little song. He taught Shama to their little song. He said, look, Shama, you sing this little song, and in this disguise, you go to the Radharani, you sing this little song, and then you still agree to, again, to give up her mind when she sees you in this form and she becomes happy again, and then she can again go to it. So then Krishna, he went to the outside of the front, and Lalita was there standing, and he was singing a song, and the song goes into the translation, it goes like this. Today, Kanu. Kanu has become a prema vihari. Today, Kanu. Kanu is a nickname for Krishna. So this is Krishna disguised as a sannyasi with his shaved head and a golden body. Sannyasi cloth, sannyasi ganga. He's singing this song. Oh, Kanu has become a prema vihari. Kanu has become a beggar for Radharani's love. He's begging for Radharani's prema. So he's singing that song, and he comes up and the Lalita comes and sees him. Oh, sannyasi Thakur? What do you want? He said, oh, I want to meet your Swami. I want to meet your Swami Rani. I want to meet your Radharani. Oh, you're singing such a nice song. And then he sings the song. Then we just got to the Rajnishi. Then he goes into the country. He asks Radharani. He said, there's one Sannyasi Thakur here. He commended him. And he sings a very nice song. Singing, oh, Kanu. Today, Kanu has become a Radha Prema Bhikari. Sri in our line, Gaudi Minor, called Sri Gandhi Bhikshu. It means beggar. Bhikari means beggar. It's like we were in this musical core in the Mahant over there. And there's so many Bhikaris here. There's so many people think that they're money. I'm just lucky. And he said, why are so many Bhikaris? So
When Radha heard that, he said, no, I don't want to see you, Sannyasi Thakur. I don't want to see you beggars today. Please, tell the Sannyasi to go away. So he came outside and he saw the Sannyasi Thakur. He said, look, he says he doesn't want to see you. Please go away. And then Sannyasi Thakur said, but actually, you know, I know many, many things. And I can read the future and the past, and I'm very good at doing astrology charts and palmistry. And I can understand the movements of a person's mind. So I can understand if you're right, she's very upset. There's something disturbing her mind. And then Lisa said, oh, really? Well, can you read palm? Can you try to write around here? Can you read her palm and tell something about her dress? And he said, no, no, I'm a Sannyasi. I'm very strict Sannyasi. I never touch the hand of anybody. And so therefore, I can't touch the hand and look at the mind of the hand and tell you what it is. But I'm very expert because I can look at the forehead, I can look at the lines on her face, and I can tell what a teacher, what a destiny is supposed to do. And then Lisa went into Radharani, look at Sannyasi Thakur, he can help you. He can actually find out what is troubling your mind, and he can read your future. He's very expert in astrology. But he has to look at her face. Forget it. I've known it's the most chaste lady in Vrindavan. I never look at the face of any other man. How is it possible? So then, she cannot do Sannyasi Thakur. She said, oh, Sannyasi Thakur, it's not possible for me to, for you to look at the face, because she only looks at the face of her husband. She's very chaste and pure. So he said, well, what to do? So then he said, look, I'm not an ordinary Sannyasi. He said, I'm very pure. I'm not disturbed or agitated by looking at the face of any woman. You should understand, I'm not an ordinary Sannyasi. I'm something very special. And I'm just totally sure. There won't be any problem. If I look at her, no problem. You can tell her that. Rest assured that I will simply be your future. It'll be all right. So then, then the Lisa Sati went inside. So that actually is a very special Sannyasi. And he said, be very sure and just be undisturbed by looking at the face of any woman. And you can be sure that there is no problem. And he will help you very much. He might give you some forecasts and predictions about your future and your present predicament. So, with the coaching of Lisa Sati, of course, she actually took the Guru of Radharani. Radharani submits to her, but she only submits to Lisa. No problem. So then, Lisa takes her outside. She sits down. Sannyasi Thakur sits opposite Radharani. So then, that was here, Mon, here in the back, this is one of the Mon pastimes, this is the place of Javerman, here in Varsha. So then, Sannyasi said, no, you lift her veil up, you know, because Radharani is covered like this, very, very shy, the cloth is very thin, so you can see up and can't see yet. So you can see people, but they can't really see beautiful eyes and teeth and nose or whatever you have in there. But you can see them and navigate around the world.
So then,
like that and finish up, so then there's Sannyasi Thakur said, do you lift the veil and I will tell you what her future is. So then Radharani said, Malika, lift up the veil like this. And then soon as Radharani, the golden body disappears, she comes to the comes, who comes, he turns to the child. So this reminds us of the pastime. It reminds us of the pastime and it's a kind of transmission on the river where it's left the rock to dance, so we went searching for him. And when they were searching, he took the Chakra Bhuta form. Remember that? You see him took the forearm form in Raya? Describe and take how he tried to make it.
So he's standing there and all the gopis are saying, oh, where's John? Where's John? Where did he go?
And with his forearm, John went that way. And all the stars pointed that way, and then all the gopis ran off behind him.
Well, when they were not around, things were John. He just came before him and stood there, and just standing up with his forearm, and started shaking. And as soon as Radharani even vibrates the word child, he falls into Krishna. As soon as Krishna hears Radharani speak his name, he falls into Krishna's heart.
Before that, this lake was known as Gokun. This bottom, Maharaj has been the house here for bathing. And bathing over here. So they were sitting here on the side of the lake enjoying the scenery and just talking amongst themselves. And there's so many bees were flying around because, as you know, eight parts of Krishna's body are like a lotus. Padmanabh, his navel is like a lotus. Padmamukh, Mukharavinda, sometimes Mukharavinda. His face of Mukharavinda is like a lotus. And his mouth is like a lotus. His navel is like a lotus. His eyes are like a lotus. His feet are like lotuses. Radharani is also like lotuses. Very clean and very attractive and very beautiful. So there's a big swarm of bumblebees that's flying around Radharani's feet. And they thought that their two feet were two beautiful golden lotus flowers. And they want to land on their feet and drink all the nectar there. Of course, they're giving a very good example for all of us. Somehow or other, the bees of our heart should land on the lotus flowers Radharani's feet. Our hearts were flying everywhere but there, and landing and everything but Radharani's feet. Anyway, these bees were Vrindavan, they know where to fly, and they know where to land. And they were landing on the feet of Radharani, trying to drink nectar there. But she was a little disturbed because the whole pastimes of Radha and Krishna are enacted under the atmosphere of Nara, called Nara Lila. So just like you were sitting somewhere, a bunch of bees started landing on you, you get disturbed. You jump off, you get to be afraid, you get stung by a bee. Radharani was afraid that all these bees who were after the nectar of the lotus feet might sting her. So she was telling the Prati, she was there on one side, the Prati was fanning her with some lotus leaves. These lotus leaves are very cooling. So she pulled a few lotus leaves. It's not that the Prati walks around with a chama in her hand all the time. And you see on the altar, the Prati has a chama, right? Or the Vikrata has a chama fan. It's not that, she's walking around with a chama fan all the time. But she went to the Saroma and she took some leaves there, some nice lotus pot, she took like lotus pads, leaves and lotus. She was fanning, running down with that, pulling them off. Some other cousins were playing Dina and singing some sweet songs. The birds were riding Krishna, the breeze was blowing through the trees, carrying the flavor of sandalwood from the sandalwood trees and beautiful malati and all the flowers. Very sweet environment. So when Radharani was being disturbed by those bees, he told the Prati to please, to help me, get rid of these bees. So then the bees were, the Prati was chasing the bees away. Get out from here, get out from here. They took their oranas, they took their veils, and they were chasing the bees. And they chased them all the way away. And of course, the name for bees in Sanskrit or Vrajbhasha, honey bees are called Madhusudan. They should be Madhusudan. Madhu means honey. Sudha means one who gets, or one who collects, or one who has, or one who keeps honey. The Madhusudha. So the bees are the ones that always collect the honey and nectar. So they're called Madhusudha. So when the Prati takes all those bees away, then he left Radha and said, it's okay, Radha. Madhusudha is gone. Madhusudha is gone. So all the bees are gone. But when Radharani heard the name Madhusudha, because Madhusudha is also a name for Krishna. Very affectionate, dear name for Krishna. So when she heard that, she became completely struck like a lightning bolt in her heart. You can imagine such a thing. Had a lightning bolt coming from the sky and going right into your heart, it would be utter devastation and total destruction. So she felt completely, utterly devastated and destroyed. And in her response, when she heard she was completely destroyed. But now you have to understand, she's sitting on the lap of Madhusudan. She's sitting right on Krishna's lap. And she starts crying and sobbing and weeping. Oh no, where is he gone? Is that dreadful? Amavatya has taken her. Because Amavatya, in other words, Chandravali has a name. But Radharani will never mention her name. So the moon goes through different phases. Sometimes the moon is full, it's called Purnima. When the moon is black and dark and invisible, it's called Amavatya. So when Radharani wants to refer to Chandravali, she says Amavatya. She doesn't want to say Chandravali because it's too much pain. Oh, God! She's some of that water of prema will drench our desert-like hearts and nourish our
regularly plant his bhakti so that it can actually grow and thrive and someday produce those wonderful fruits of prema, the fruit and rather, and distribute to others. After this, we'll go to the ladies should bathe over here on this side, over on there, and the men should bathe over here. From where I'm standing over on that side, that day.